today as we come to the table.
They've got to be ready as well. Don't just think that because they're priests that God's going to somehow give them a bye. No, the Lord will break out against them. But Moses said to the Lord, I love Moses. Look at Moses' heart. This is so sweet to me. He said, the people cannot come up to Mount Sinai, for you warned us, saying, set your bounds around the mountain and consecrate it. In other words, Lord, the people aren't going to come up. You told us not to. You could say naivety. You could say a pure heart that just doesn't understand people that don't want to obey the Lord. God said don't do it. Why would anybody do what God said not to do? Oh, Moses, you've got a long 40 years ahead of you, bud.
Moses may have been naive, but he'd learn the Israelites would not be the easiest group to lead through the wilderness. It's easy to shake your head at these rebellious, chosen people, but really, we're not much different. People today rebel just as quickly. We're just not being written about in God's Word. Well, thanks for staying with us today as we come to the table, the daily Bible study program of Pastor Mark Kirk of Calvary Knoxville. Instead of scoffing at the wayward Israelites, Pastor Mark will remind you today to learn from them, look at their failures, and identify similar tendencies in yourself, and then make changes so that you can avoid that sin in the future. Ask the Lord to open your eyes to areas where you can grow in your walk with Him. Well, let's join Pastor Mark in Exodus chapter 19 as he continues his message, preparing our heart to follow.
The nation of Israel, because of their rebellion, never saw this promise fulfilled. See, this was a conditional promise for them. If you know the Lord, then that promise is yours to keep, because He's given that to the church. But in the law, it was something that if you didn't keep, you didn't get it. Conditional promise. As a matter of fact, we're going to see that not only were they not a kingdom of priests, what was the only tribe that became priests? Levi. One tribe. One tribe out of 12 became priests, and He promised all 12 they'd be what? Priests. Every one of you are going to be priests unto the Lord, the whole nation. And yet, only one tribe got to be because they disobeyed. How sad is that? And I think there's a whole picture in here of the promises God gives to us. There's not special people in the kingdom. He loves all of us. We all have access to His glory and His throne. But we have to be obedient to the Lord, and we have to obey the Lord and love Him. And God has so much for us. They blew it. So Moses came and called the elders of the people and laid before them all the words as the Lord commanded them. So first he gets his leadership together. You know, your leadership has to be unified before you can do anything with the body. So he gets the leadership together, make sure they're on board with what God has spoken to him. Then all the people answered together. He now speaks to the people. They answered and said, all that the Lord has spoken, we will do. Right. We're going to see they didn't hardly do any of this. So Moses brought back the words of the people to the Lord. So now Moses, to the second time, goes to the Lord. God gave him the message. He took it to the people. Moses goes back and he tells the Lord this message and what's going to be happening. And again, although they say they're going to do it, they don't. Now, I want to be not too hard on them. We'll be hard on them later because they absolutely are in full-fledged rebellion before too long. And probably already in heart here. But does this not sometimes describe us when it comes to the law? That is, the spirit is willing, but the flesh is weak. That's why I'm glad we don't live under the law. We're not under the law. We don't have to keep the law. And although oftentimes, even when we're not under the law, we want to do what God says. And, you know, we try, but we can't. It's like, Lord, I'll never do that again. You ever said that? Let me count to 10. Yep, you did it again. So did I. Why? Because we're flesh. We have to go to God and say, God, I don't want to do it again. Now you deliver me from it. Take it away. Remember we talked about the goldsmith. Heats up the gold. And what? All the junk floats to the top. The goldsmith scoops off the junk, throws it away, and he knows that the gold is purified when he looks in and sees only himself. But was that a work of the gold? You know, was the gold down there, you know, getting rid of all the impurities themselves? The gold wasn't even straining. They're just down there getting heated up. And I know when I get heated up is when the junk floats to the top. Ever been there? So God will heat us up. The junk floats to the top. And then this That kind of, oh, what was that? You know, and it could be anything. I've had that happen throughout my life. I kind of, boop. Oh, man, I didn't know that was in there. When did that happen? God said, it didn't just happen. It's always been there, Mark. I just now showed you. Now, give it to me. Okay, Lord, take that, boop, you know, that bubble, whatever it is. Get rid of it. And God takes the bubble and does away with it, and then looks down and sees a little bit more of Jesus. Isn't that cool? Because what that takes, well, pardon the pun, but that takes the heat off of me. See, I don't have to make that happen. I just have to recognize it, acknowledge it, and then look up to him, the goldsmith, and say, help. And he does it. And this is what God is doing for the nation here. It's exactly what he's purifying them. He's telling them that they're going to, if they'll just do these things, they're going to be a special people. Moses is now taking the word back. They say they're going to do it. And the Lord said to Moses, behold, I come to you in the thick cloud that the people may hear when I speak with you and believe you forever. So I'm going to back you up, Moses. I'm going to show the people that I'm with you. And it wasn't just so they would recognize that God was with their pastor. If you want to put a modern day application to it, God was going to use Moses throughout the centuries. He's using Moses tonight, isn't he? So this was a statement to all generations until the Lord comes back. Moses was my man, and this right here was truly Moses called by God, and I'm truly his God. I'm going to show my greatness through him so much that people know that the God of the Bible is the true God. So Moses told the words of the people to the Lord. So he gives the biblical law in such a way that everyone will know that it's God and that it's him, his word. And there's no other religion or spiritual movement that can show that God is behind the Bible like Christianity. None. There's no other leader of any group that said, I'm going to die and rise from the dead who did it. And so we have verifiable proof by the actual reality that it happened. That God is who he said he was. And that's what God is doing for Moses. That's what Jesus did for us by rising from the dead. How do I know which one is right? You've got all these different groups and all of your... Well, which one of them said they would die and get up because they're God and then did it? Well, only one out of about 50. Then you've got the right one. Don't stray. He proved it. Their leader didn't get up. They may have claimed to be God, but they died and they didn't get up. He said, I'm God and I'm going to die. 3 days later, I'm getting up. So, I mean, what more evidence do you need? And the Lord said to Moses, go into the people and consecrate them today and tomorrow and let them wash their clothes. Now, again, there's a lot of symbolism going on here. Consecrate means simply to set apart. He says, so go tell the people, and here it is. Here's tonight's theme. Go tell the people to prepare their heart to seek the Lord and to receive from the Lord. Go tell them. Tell them to set themselves apart. Say, God, I'm going to set myself apart for you. I'm going to consecrate you. You know, tonight when we started, Jake read that psalm there. Who may ascend to the hill of the Lord? He who has pure hands and a clean heart. What it means is those who have prepared their heart. If you've prepared yourself, you've gotten clean, you've asked God to forgive you, you said, Lord, I want to draw near to you. Now you're able to draw near. Yes, he did it on the cross, but we still grieve his spirit if we're not clean before him. So God says, first, take care of your sin, then leave your gift at the altar. So prepare yourself, consecrate, set yourself apart. They were setting themselves apart, and that's exactly what we're supposed to do today, to be set apart, even as Jesus did that for the cross. And it's interesting, they were to be set apart on the third day to follow and obey, even as we are set apart because of what Jesus did on the third day, rising from the dead. Isn't that cool? So this whole picture that God's giving, and you know, this didn't hit me until right before the teaching, not even in my notes. But when you think about Mount Sinai, there's two different mountains they think are Mount Sinai. I think the one that people go to today is not Mount Sinai. I may be wrong. That's my personal conviction. Because when I read the scripture and I look geographically at where God said they went and where they are, Mount Sinai is over in Saudi Arabia, according to the description of the Bible. But they have Mount Sinai down closer to Egypt. Anyway, I'm not going to fight with anybody about that. But either way, both of those mountains that, you know, scholars have differing viewpoints on, they're mountains that are straight up. They're hard to climb. And what a picture of the law that is. Something that's straight up and hard to climb, you can't do it. But here's what I love. We can't ascend Mount Sinai, nor were we supposed to. We're no longer under the law, right? It's difficult. It's hard. You can't climb that. You can't attain it. Well, Moses went up. I know that. I understand that Moses literally went up. One guy did, and God did that for a picture. But the whole picture of Mount Sinai being something that's hard to ascend, when you go to Mount Calvary, that's a mountain we can all climb. Even when I think about Calvary, it's a very smooth, sloping mountain that works its way right up to Calvary where the Lord was crucified. Whereas Sinai, both of those mountains, whichever one it might be, they jut straight up. And I think there's a whole picture the Lord even used in the geography to say, you know what? You're not supposed to be able to climb the law. I gave it there to lead you to the cross, but the cross is a nice, smooth elevation of your life to Jesus Christ. Jesus said, my burden is light and my yoke is easy. Isn't that great? See, that's the difference in the law. And that's another thing we see in this whole picture of Sinai and Jesus. The law is hard. Jesus is easy. So they consecrated themselves. Notice he says, tell them to wash their clothes. I don't think it's so much because doing laundry would help them spiritually, but it's symbolic of the cleansing that's needed if we're going to be set apart for the Lord. Take off the filthy garments of the world and put on the righteous garments of Christ. Now you can ascend. Now you can go to higher places in your walk, higher places where God wants you to be. And notice he would descend in the sight of the people, even as Jesus in the sight of the people was resurrected. And again, what an amazing event this must have been to visibly see the Lord's power and the glory. You know, as I was driving in tonight, I was noticing these clouds, all different colors, the white clouds, and then these clouds that really look smoky. Maybe you saw those when you came in, these big puffs of what looked like smoke clouds. That's what this describes. It's a thick, dark cloud came down and descended on the mountain with lightnings and thunderings and this rumble. There's an earthquake and this loud trumpet that God is going to supernaturally blast from the mountain. I mean, this was a fearful thing. And what a picture of the law, because the law is a fearful thing. It amazes me when people try to live by the law to please God. Why would you want to do something that's so fearful and so scary and so unattainable? When God says, my yoke is easy, my burden is light, I've done it all for you on the cross. So the symbolism again is just exploding in this whole passage. The people here, he tells them the people, they said to Moses, all right, go. He said, go consecrate yourself. Verse 11, let them be ready for the third day. Here it is, the third day. For on the third day, the Lord will come down upon Mount Sinai in the sight of all the people. And notice, you shall set bounds for the people all around, saying, take heed to yourselves that you do not go up the mountain or touch its base. Whoever touches the mountain shall surely be put to death. And what a truth this is. For those who try to climb the mountain of the law to get to God, it will only lead to death. Any group, any religion, any person who tries to climb the mountain of the law to seek God, Moses did it to bring the law back as a restraint for the people until the cross was given. But it was never intended for everyone to go up. And God said, you can't stop it. You cannot. Not even the priests. Only Moses. I won't even let the priests come up. And anybody that does, they're to die. Wow. Powerful. Again, the symbolism here. Set the boundaries. Notice this. He says, seriously, he's going to be put to death. Not a hand shall touch him, but he shall be stoned or shot with an arrow. So don't even touch the guy if he's tried to do this. You know, just he's going to die. Whether man or beast, he shall not live. Even the animals were to be put to death. You know, that brings up a point, kind of a side note here, but note this. In Scripture, God says that when animals do certain things, even they are to be put to death. And yet today in our society, even when men do certain things, people don't put them to death. Isn't that interesting? God says, if an animal kills a person, kill that animal. We say today, if a man kills a person, put him in jail. You see a difference in God's standard and man's standard? Again, I didn't mean to get too sidetracked, but it's just so stark to me how far we are from God's standards. When the trumpet sounds long, they shall come near the mountain. Now it says when the trumpet sounds long, this gets even freakier. Now get this. There wasn't anybody standing at the base of the mountain blowing a trumpet from among the children of Israel. This was God just making this trumpet blast. And the description it gives of this trumpet is this thing that gets louder and louder and louder and almost overwhelming, like, whoa. And we're going to see later on, they talk to Moses after this whole experience, after the Ten Commandments are given and they all settle down and talk to Moses. They say, Moses, look, this whole with God and this whole thing and our nation and the special treasure, whatever. Tell you what, you just talk to him for us. We really don't want to talk to him. We're scared. He's powerful. And we don't want to get struck dead. We don't want to say, because that's what the law does. It puts fear and strikes dead. Because when you try to live perfect and by the law, you're always messing up. And you're always afraid now I've really hurt God. Now God is not going to love me. Now God, wait a minute. Whoa. Grace, mercy, love, the cross. It's all been done. God is doing much more than just telling the story here. He's painting a whole picture of the Lord and what he's done. And I love this because, again, he says you can't come near without dying. And now because of the cross, the Bible says we can not only come near to the Lord, we can go in the holiest of places straight to his throne boldly. Is that cool or what? This is what the Lord tells us because of what Jesus has done on the cross. So Moses went down from the mountain to the people and sanctified the people and they washed their clothes. So they do all the things that God has told them, the whole symbolism of being clean before the Lord, preparing their hearts, ready to receive the word of God. And he said to the people, be ready for the third day. Do not come near your wives. Now, again, this means to have physical relations with the wives. It wasn't that that was necessarily something that was wrong. The point was he wanted them to put the flesh away, almost like you do in a fast, and just prepare your heart for the Lord. Be ready for God. Don't be seeking the things of the world, the pleasures of the world right now. You seek me. You seek the Lord. I'm going to give you something brand new, something that's going to, you know, again, just invest in the nation. And it came to pass on the third day in the morning that there were thunderings and lightnings and a thick cloud on the mountain. And the sound of the trumpet was very loud. There's that booming sound again that it gives a picture of in the language, just intimidating, fearful sound, so that all the people who were at the camp trembled. Now, this would have been, wow, thunder, lightning, trumpets blasting, and all this kind of thing. And it's amazing to see how many people try to explain away the miracles of God. You've got some commentators, if you guys read them, well, probably there was a volcano. There is no volcano in the Sinai. This was God. He was just showing his power. He was showing his greatness. And I love this. What a contrast to the law and the cross. Or should I say, what a relationship. Look at this. On the morning the law was given, the third day, there was an earthquake and lightning and great fear and trembling for those under the law. In contrast to Jesus who rose the third day, there was an earthquake. There was lightning-like angels. It says they glowed like lightning. But there was rejoicing and celebration. The only ones that were fearful on the third day when Jesus rose were the Roman soldiers who didn't know him. It says they fell like dead men on the ground. Because those who are under the law, still under the judgment of the Lord. But guys, we under the Lord, it's a rejoicing. You know, the Lord said to Mary, you know, Mary. She said, Rabboni, you know, Jesus. And she was all fired up. She was excited. Because there was nothing to be afraid of. You see, he had defeated death. He had defeated the death of the law. He defeated death itself. The sting of death was gone. Moses, you know, gets the people ready. The third day, don't come near your wives. It came to pass again in the morning. Thunderings, lightnings, verse 17. And Moses brought the people out of the camp to meet with God. And they stood at the foot of the mountain. Again, there Moses being there, the messenger for the Lord here. And Mount Sinai was completely in smoke because the Lord descended upon it in fire. Its smoke ascended like the smoke of a furnace, and the whole mountain quaked greatly. Wow, it's just amazing. Again, we think of it from the outside of an amazing event, but how fearful. Try to imagine yourself there, and everything's shaking, you know, and the fire on the mountain. Oh, this is an amazing sight just to imagine in your mind. And notice this, when the blast of the trumpet sounded long, so this trumpet starts, and it just keeps going. I mean, nobody has lungs like an angel, right? And I don't know if it was an angel blowing it, but you get my point. Sounded long, became louder and louder, so this trumpet is, you know, and then everything shakes. See the fear God's creating? He's making a point. The law is a fearful thing. Don't be trying to obey the law. Don't be looking to the law. It's a fearful thing. It's going to do you in, so to speak. And it gets louder, very loud, so that all the people who are in the camp trembled. They're standing there at the mountain. The Lord descended in fire. Its smoke ascended up. The blast of the trumpet, all this happening. And Moses spoke, notice this, and God answered him by voice. Wow. I don't know if it was a voice they understood, literal voice, or just a thundering. You know, when God speaks, it's a thunder in Scripture. Remember, Jesus was there, and he spoke to the Father, and the Father spoke back. They said they heard thunder. Some said it was the voice of God. Some said it was thunder, because you have to have spiritual ears to really understand, although everybody knew that something had happened. I notice that it says, then the Lord came down upon Mount Sinai on the top of the mountain, and the Lord called Moses to the top of the mountain, and Moses went up. And the Lord said to Moses, go down and warn the people lest they break through to gaze at the Lord and many of them perish. Again, God knows human nature, doesn't he? You know, he's like, they're going to try to sneak and see me. He says, go down and tell them they can't. And notice this, also let the priests who come near to the Lord consecrate themselves, that is to set themselves apart, lest the Lord break out against them. So, you know, it's just because they're pastors doesn't mean that they're okay. God shows no favoritism. Everybody's got to be clean before God, right? You know, I can't stand up here and read the word to you and tell you guys need to be clean before God. Then I go and just do whatever. Matter of fact, I'm going to be held more accountable, right? So again, he's saying, tell the priests, you know, they've got to be ready as well. Don't just think that because they're priests that God's going to somehow give them a bye. No, the Lord will break out against them. But Moses said to the Lord, I love Moses. Now look at Moses' heart. This is so sweet to me. He said, the people cannot come up to Mount Sinai, for you warned us, saying, set your bounds around the mountain and consecrate it. In other words, Lord, the people aren't going to come up. You told us not to. You could say naivety. You could say a pure heart that just doesn't understand people that don't want to obey the Lord. God said don't do it. Why would anybody do what God said not to do? Oh, Moses, you've got a long 40 years ahead of you, bud. See, Moses, your heart's pure. Moses, you want to obey me. Moses, you will obey me. But the people, in general, they're rebellious. They've been living in Egypt. I've been working on you for 40 years in the backside of the desert. I've purified you. I've changed your life. The people just came out of Egypt. They're totally defiled by, you know, HBO and Showtime and all the things. They're not ready for this. And so you go tell them, look, don't start trying to peek up on the mountain because I'm God. I'm not playing games when I say you're going to be killed. You really will be. And so Moses, but Lord, you've told them they're not going to, you know, I'm not going to do that. Yeah, right. And notice the Lord knows better. The Lord said to him, away. Get down and then come up, you and Aaron with you. But do not let the priests and the people break through and come up to the Lord, lest you break out against them. So he says, look, I know the people. I know their heart. They're not going to obey that. So you go down and tell them because I don't want to see them have to die. So Moses went down to the people and spoke to them. And again, we see Moses' purity before the Lord and this contrast here between those who can draw near the Lord and those who can't. You know, and again, I'm not making the point that, you know, every movie or whatever, something wrong. I'm not making a point like that. My point was simply that if we're really into the world and we're absorbed by the world, then it really separates us from that closeness to God that God wants us to have. And again, it's not by the law. It's by grace and it's by mercy. But guys, look at this tonight. Listen, God offers us the very same thing tonight that he offered the nation of Israel. What's that? Intimacy, a kingdom of priests, a holy nation, a holy people, if we'll simply set ourselves apart for him. Not living under the law, not rules and regulations, not trying to climb some high standard we can't get to. Just his yoke is easy, his burden is light, enjoying the Lord, but setting ourselves apart, walking holy with God. Remember, holiness doesn't mean that somehow you talk different or wear different clothes or can't have any fun. Can Christians have fun? I mean, we should be having more fun than anybody. We should be because we're forgiven. We're clean. We can have all the fun in the world. There's nothing that says that we can't have fun. You know, we party in the Lord, right? We just do it in holiness. You don't have to, you know, I loved about being in Israel, and I'm not saying that Israel's a holy nation right now, but when you go to the national celebrations of Israel, the people are out in the streets partying and having a big time. I've been over there now for a couple of different celebrations. We were there on Jerusalem Day this last time, and we've been there before a couple of times where we're there on their 4th of July, so to speak, the day that their nation was born. And the streets are filled with people, but you can't find alcohol. And I'm not even saying that it's wrong to have a drink of alcohol. That's not my point. But they're not like America. If you have an outdoor party, what do you see? Everybody's boozing it up, aren't they? Now, it's just so ingrained in their nation, you know, and they're not even a holy people. Listen, we should be having the most fun of anybody. And so God is telling them, hey, you know, I want you to be a special people set apart for me, a kingdom of priests. And, you know, that's what God wants. He wants that intimacy and that closeness. That's what God's calling us to tonight, guys. Do you want that? Do you want that intimacy and that closeness with the Lord? Again, don't try to ascend Mount Sinai. You can't do it. It's a thorny place. You're going to get stuck every time. You know, you get so far up the mountain, you get stuck. So far off the mountain, you get stuck because you can never obey all the law. Just let God deal with that. You go to Jesus. You go to the cross. Mount Calvary is a nice, smooth ascension that takes us higher and higher in the Lord, all the way to the cross and to the glory that God has for us. That's really where we need to be as believers. And so I want to challenge us tonight, you know, as we finish this, are our hearts ready to seek the Lord? Do we want to seek the Lord? Do we really want to be close to him? If we want to do that, we have to make a decision. Lord, I'm going to clean my life out of the stuff that separates me from you, and I'm going to walk with you in holiness. And God says, if you do that, then all right, now you're under the spout where the glory comes out. Enjoy.
And just like that, another time at the table of God's Word has come to an end. Maybe you've heard these things mentioned in the book of Exodus before, or perhaps you're hearing it for the first time. Exodus is one of those books where it's undeniable, observing God's power and might in what he does through his people and for his people. Pastor Mark will continue teaching through the book of Exodus next time, but you don't have to wait until then to listen to more great Bible studies. You can access this series, plus much more, at thewaymedia.net. Feel free to share these messages with anyone who wants to know more about what the Bible has to say. You can also download the Way Media app to access teachings as they're available. Before we close, we want you to know that if you live in the Knoxville area, you're invited to join Pastor Mark in the community of Jesus followers at Calvary Knoxville for our next service. For over 20 years, it's been incredible to see how God has used us in our local community. And through this radio outreach, there's always a seat for you. Sunday mornings at 8, 9:30, or 11:15. We also meet on Sunday nights at 6 or Wednesday nights at 7. If you can't make it in person, that's not a problem. You can join us online. We're streaming our services through the Way Media app. To find more info on Calvary Knoxville, scroll to the bottom of the waymedia.net for a link to our church website. Pastor Mark has more to share from the book of Exodus, so be sure to join us the next time we come to the table. Come to the Table is a radio outreach ministry of Calvary Knoxville.